Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report, Faith Report. This is Dr. Lee for America from Truth for Health Foundation, here with my guest, Nicole Landers, who is a registered nurse and a legal nurse consultant and director of our COVID care strategy team. But she is also a student of scripture and biblical prophecy. And we have talked in the past about how do the biblical prophecies play out in the events we see around us today. And in my own journey over the last week or so, as more and more things happening in the world around us started escalating, now we're seeing more pilots of commercial airliners suddenly have a heart attack, either just before flight or in the case of one recently with Virgin Australia during flight. And we're also seeing more people die suddenly, more food shortages, skyrocketing gas prices, now the banking collapse in Silicon Valley last week, and fears of more banking instability. There are projections that it may be worse than 2008. And then we have increasing concerns about toxin exposures from the Ohio train derailment that released a toxic plume in the air that is quite certain to contain dioxin, which is a compound referred to as a gender bender. How ironic, at the time that we're also seeing increasing pressure on the transgender movement and actual school systems we've done whistleblower reports on that are grooming children, school boards that have approved grooming children to change genders without the parents' consent. I mean, this is all so appalling and so against the standard of the Judeo-Christian values on which this country was founded. And then we hear reports of spotting aliens. And I started thinking about the story of Noah again over the weekend and realizing I wanted to go back and read that again and think about what was going on at the time of Noah when God had Noah prepare for what was coming with the great flood to cleanse the earth of the sin and depravity that was rampant at that time. And Noah honored God, obeyed God, and undertook the preparations. And then I was struck by reading that it took 120 years to build the ark, that God was patient for 120 years to give people time to repent of their sins, follow his commandments, and turn back to him. And suddenly it clicked in my mind that in the United States, we're coming up on close to 120 years since the first global reset push under President Woodrow Wilson and the transhumanism eugenics movement that began in 1900 to 1910 with the leadership of Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. And all of a sudden, it hit me somewhat like a lightning bolt. God has been patient with this country through the decades of the 1900s with so much increasing sinfulness and depravity. I often said in the 1960s, it began to look like America was becoming Sodom and Gomorrah with free drugs and free sex and and people dropping away from church and claims that God is dead. And that has been escalating in the years since then. And I look back over the generation since the 60s and prior to that with the eugenics movement, the transhumanism movement that began with Woodrow Wilson, Margaret Sanger, and all of those people. And Margaret Sanger was actually, as not only the leader of the eugenics movement and the founder of Planned Parenthood, but she was the inspiration for Adolf Hitler in his own eugenics movement to create the Aryan race and exterminate Jews. But Margaret Sanger was much broader in her desire to exterminate undesirables because her writings are full of descriptions of how Negroes, Indians, veterans, and disabled all should be exterminated in her view of creating a more perfect race. In other words, America, we have been under the influence of those who would replace God with themselves and their agendas for revising the human genome. Now that we're seeing the COVID shots, to revising our sex, our gender, our biological makeup, to revising what we should eat, genetically modifying foods, altering the environment, geoengineering of weather, you name it. Everywhere we turn, we are seeing human beings in their arrogance wanting to replace God, the creator of this planet, and God's design with a design created by diabolical, malevolent minds that mock God and want to destroy his creation. I've often said in the last 3 years, I feel like the gates of hell have been unleashed on the world. And Lucifer's minions have been unleashed in the form of diabolical human minds that are determined to destroy God's creation. So where does our faith come in? And what does the Bible say about all of this? And how do we as biblical Christians turn to scriptures to strengthen our faith, understand that God is sovereign, and trust that his will shall prevail, even when the days around us seem very dark with all that's happening and all that's causing fear and worry and uncertainty? And I wanted to talk more today with Nicole and our audience to get you thinking about some questions. What does Genesis have to say about all that we're seeing now? And what does the Bible really have to say about what we're now calling alien activity? And what does the Bible have to say, and what did God do when the original eugenics movement that took place in Noah's time, how did God handle that? So, Nicole, thank you for joining me today. I really wanted to explore this. I realize there are many Protestant and Catholic churches that may not agree with what we have to say, But those of you who are guided by the Holy Spirit, who are guided by Scripture, who have a spirit of discernment, and who feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, I think much of what we talk about will resonate with you, and perhaps you will find ways to wake up those around you who have been indoctrinated in unsound teachings or teachings that have covered up what the message of the story of Noah was really about. So, Nicole, tell us why we now realize that so many Protestant churches, for example, do not teach what was really happening in the days of Noah. And just take it away and explain to our listeners what you and I've been talking about to help others understand what really was taking place then and how it parallels to today.
Absolutely, Dr. Belit. So the answer to the question is our adversary, right? Our adversary robbed us of this truth a long time ago during the period of St. Augustine's reign, when the powers that be, wanting to control the population through Christianity, suppressed the truth of the scriptures, particularly the angels that kept not their first estate, the fallen angels, that in the original translation in the Septuagint would have been called Bnei HaElohim. These are the fallen angels, the sons of God, who went up to the godly council. They are the ones that came down and intermingled with the daughters of men. They took wives for themselves. You can, listener, go straight to Genesis 6. Don't believe me. Go read this for yourself. The sons of God, the Bnei HaElohim, came down and took wives for themselves. There was a reason they did this. Their reason was to corrupt the bloodline, to prevent the birth of Christ. And we know that that was prophesied from Genesis 3, when God laid out in the judgment for Adam and Eve sinning, that there would be a great seed board, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is Jesus, and the seed of the serpent ultimately will make its full manifestation in the Antichrist, the Antichrist being the counterfeit of Jesus, not meaning the opposite per se. So this is a challenging teaching for most of us in the church. This is not what we were brought up in to understand. But if we went and talked to the Hasidic Jewish community, the Orthodox Jewish community, they do know these things. They do understand that this happened, and the judgment for it was flooding the world. God didn't do that because he's an awful, horrible, mean God. He did it to get rid of the manipulated gene pool that the powers of evil had corrupted the human genome in an attempt to prevent the birth of our Lord and Savior.
And this is all described in Genesis, particularly for those who have access to understanding what the original Hebrew scriptures,
absolutely,
how they described it.
Absolutely, Dr. Valit, that's correct. And I want to draw the listener to a passage from Jude 1:6, speaking of these angels and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. These angels that kept not their first estate, these were, as they would be described in the ancient texts, the Dead Sea Scrolls, were a group of watchers appointed over portions of the earth. When they rebelled in the rebellion with Satan, they elected this path to come down and mingle with women. This is described in a number of places in the scripture. And then in the New Testament, not only do Peter and Jude and Paul confirm the writings of Enoch, even though this is extra biblical text, they still quote it and confirm it and help clarify the Old Testament scriptures that speak directly to this.
And what was the decision at the time of St. Augustine? What specifically did St. Augustine reinterpret to disguise who the sons of God really were as fallen angels?
As instead of identifying the fallen angels, these other world beings, as laid out in the Holy Scriptures, he made this the line of Seth, an earthly line. But the reality was that this was an unearthly event, not an earthly event. It's far less anathema to the human mind to say that, you know, some of a bloodline mixed with another of a bloodline, that's all of this world. See, they didn't want to identify the reality of other world entities because that would detract from his own power. But in reality, these entities, these powers, they've always existed, and the Bible has always made that very clear. So when we talk about aliens today, we aren't talking about Martians or, you know, little men from the moon. We're talking about other world beings, interdimensional beings. These are angels or fallen angels.
And many people have spiritual experiences of experiencing the other, the interdimensional beings, the angels, both good and bad. I mean, I've interviewed patients who've had those experiences, some of which have been very frightening because they were the fallen angels, the forces of evil. And I've had other patients who've had very profoundly meaningful experiences with the angels sent by the Holy Spirit. And scripture tells us there are many circumstances in which God sends angels to help us. We can do another show on that at some point because that's less the focus today. But most people have had these spiritual experiences, and particularly those who pay attention to these experiences. Well, so the fallen angels are still there and still working to corrupt the genetic line.
Absolutely, correct? Dr. Valit. And what you were just referring to, the listener can go to Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Another event in the Holy Word of God that makes it very clear that there are other world, other dimension beings that you could encounter and maybe have. So, yes, these beings exist. The fallen ones, the ones who are at enmity with God, just as they did in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's not me saying that. That's Jesus. He says it on the Olivet Discourse. You can read about it in Matthew 24. We are right back there again. You know, the angels have, fallen ones have been exchanging technology knowledge with humans in exchange for manipulating the human genome throughout all of recorded history and continue to do so today?
Well, I think we've seen that in spades with the mRNA gene therapy shots that are altering the human genome. And we have scientific experts that have clearly shown, and those who have done studies, to show that human sperm are altered by the mRNA technology and the human oocytes from women, which means that the genome is then affected and altered and changed into something other than human for the next generation. And it may be more intergenerational than we realize because we have no long-term data on these mRNA shots.
Well, we don't have long-term data. And it's interesting to me that they use the word technology, right? They're instilling technology into us, or they're going to upgrade the technology that's in us or those who have taken these shots. And I want to be really careful with the listener that may be out there today thinking that somehow if you took the shot that you have corrupted your genetics and that you've somehow taken a mark that could prevent you from going home to the Lord. That's just absolutely not true. But it's important to have a solid Christian worldview that understands these otherworld entities, these fallen ones that are powers and principalities of darkness in this world, they hate us. They hate us because we're made in the image of God, and they want nothing more than to destroy that image that's in us, because we are the true heirs with Christ of the kingdom, and they hate that, and they reject that, and they want to destroy that by any means possible.
Well, we see that just from the 2020 National Democrat Convention, when they removed God from their platform and mocked God in passing an abortion on demand platform.
Absolutely.
Which is killing God's gift of life.
Absolutely. It is a slow descent, one step in front of the next of conditioning this idea that life has no meaning. If you read Romans 1, it talks about that descent into depravity. It's a judgment of God when we turn away from his truth and worship the things he created rather than the creator. There's a progression down into depravity. And depravity is where we've landed at this point, which is why we see people confused about if they're born a girl, that they can be a boy or vice versa, or think they're a cat or a wolf or a loaf of bread or whatever it is that they think at any given time. We've dismantled the value of life through abortion. And now we dismantle the value of God's creation in all of its perfection as the powers and principalities of this world want to transition us out of being in the image of God and into transhumans.
And that transhumanism movement has escalated so much in recent years. There have been elements of it over much of my adult life, but it is definitely has been ramped up on steroids lately.
Absolutely, because if the powers and principalities of darkness can convince a generation or more that you can disown your biology and adopt whatever biology you think you are, then it is a very easy step to disown your humanity and accept technology being installed in you that prevents you from any longer being human. And for anyone who studies just a little bit deeper, you know that that fourth kingdom from the book of Daniel is iron mixed with miry clay, and the two don't mix. The you know, mankind and metal, this transhuman technology, God let Daniel know in that vision straight away that this wouldn't mix. And that's where we find ourselves today.
And that's what led to the cleansing of the earth in the Great Flood.
Yes, it is. Because in that time block, the corruption of the DNA was a deliberate effort to prevent the birth of Christ as fully human. And when it said that in the scripture that Noah was perfect in his generation, that was a transliteration of scripture. The most accurate translation of scripture would be that he was perfect in his genetics. He was, his genetics and the genetics of his family were not corrupted by this intermingling of the interdimensional beings and humans.
And that corruption of the human genome, creating a transhuman with alteration of our normal brain function, which we've seen in those who've gotten the COVID shots. There are many manifestations of brain damage that are occurring, dementia accelerating, stroke accelerating, frontal lobe symptoms, difficulty concentrating, memory, mood, dysregulation, so many manifestations of brain damage. But what isn't talked about in the medical model is the fact that part of that brain damage in the alteration of the brain as God designed it is severing our spiritual connection with our Creator through the neural pathways that we know in the limbic system help maintain that spiritual connection. So I think it's all the way around quite dramatic that we're seeing the changes in human beings. And then Todd Callender has brought into court the fact that the genetic alteration under the Supreme Court law in 2013 ends up meaning under this ruling court precedent from 2013 in the court case with that he has talked about on several whistleblower reports, the genetic modification means that the modified organism becomes the property of the patent holder. So now that raises a whole different question about what's happened to the human beings who have gotten the shot. And so on that note, we'll take a break and then we'll be right back to talk about all of this in more detail. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report, Faith Report. Check out our website, truthforhealth.org, where you'll find a lot more resources and many Faith Over Fear programs that can guide you to further discussion on all of these topics. We will be right back. Welcome back to the second half of the Faith Report on Truth for Health Foundation Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, and we were talking about the parallels between the days of Noah and what is unfolding in the world today, and how do today's events tie in with biblical prophecy. And Nicole, if we have time, I'd like to share some situations from some of the devotional readings just this past week about times in our lives that God sends us angels based on scripture. But before we get to that, what are your thoughts about how the corruption of the genetic line we're seeing today is fulfilling biblical prophecy of the second coming of Christ. They didn't prevent the first coming because God intervened and cleansed the earth in the great flood, to make it simple. What do you see unfolding now?
So, Dr. Vallee, what I see now, based on everything I've read and what I feel like I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me, is that this is the setup for the beast system, the system the Antichrist uses to control during the 7-year tribulation. The adversary, the evil one, he cannot create. He can only copycat, but he does not have capacity to create. He wants to be like God Most High. He wants to be worshiped by all. Well, he's not omnipresent. So what does he use? Internet. He is going to mock and mimic the seal of Christ, which is on us in blood. His seal is going to be a digital seal. He can't know every thought of man because he doesn't have that ability. We aren't his creatures. So he can instill technology into us, or those who accept it, to understand everything about what's going on in every person and control every aspect of society and spending and trading. That is what we see the divine setup for. And in addition to that, remembering again that these powers, they want to take away the image of God within us. When they accomplish this, and it says clearly in the word that for a short time they do, those who accept that mark, they become transhuman. They will make that choice, and they will permanently be unable to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's what is happening right now, is the setup for that kingdom, just as it says in God's word.
And to just reiterate something really important that you said, the people who have already taken the COVID shot have been part of the deception, and they didn't do that by the same type of choice that you're talking about in choosing to worship the Antichrist by taking the mark of the beast.
That's exactly right. That mark of the beast will be something no one will be tricked into taking that. See, the adversary wants to be worshiped. Well, he may be sneaky, but ultimately the choice to accept that mark, it's an act of worship. People will choose that. Now, they may be compelled to choose it so they can buy and sell and trade. That is true. But they will still do this in adoration of the beast. We don't have a beast. He is not here. What is happening right now with the shot is experimentation, mass experimentation, and a depopulation agenda by the elites who clearly worship the adversary.
Well, and they've been worshiping the adversary, or often I will say Lucifer, because they've been worshiping that evil agenda since the eugenics movement began in this country. And remember, we were founded as a country for religious freedom for those who were escaping religious persecution. And America was one of the only places in the world at the time where Jews were welcome. They were not welcome across Europe. And just as my own ancestors, who were Protestants were not welcome because they were not members. They were not willing to be forced into the prescribed doctrine of the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church. And they escaped the persecution to come to the shores of America. So in the sense, while Israel is a covenant nation, and you can add to that, but America was participating in the covenant by welcoming the Jews at a time the Jews were persecuted.
Dr. V, exactly what you are talking about is the covenant promise that was made to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. This is a promise that God gave to Abraham, which remains true today. The covenant agreement between Israel and God is primary and intact, and those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. That is God's word on the matter. And I definitely see eye to eye with you about these elites and their worship of eugenics. The reality is that this goes all the way back. And really, this is Babylonian. Nimrod transcended. He was a transhuman. A really good deep dive into the world of Nimrod will reveal that he was building that tower because of these transformations that had been within him. He had special knowledge from the fallen ones, and he was ascending to take God out, so he thought. And God confused the languages and destroyed the tower and dispersed the people throughout the whole world, indicating that he wanted nation and nationship, not one world order. And as you can see, we're going back to it because the ultimate goal of this evil agenda is to unite all under one banner. And these elites worshiping the adversary believe that they can take down God by becoming one again.
Well, and that's why the attack on Christianity has been so extreme, really, and in ways in the United States that I never saw in my lifetime. Once Barack Obama took office as president, the attacks on Christianity began to dramatically escalate. And we're seeing that in the military and across the country under the continuation of Obama in the shadow government behind the Biden administration. And that all moves towards exactly what you're saying. The one world order is designed to be one world order without God and without people having the right and freedom to worship our creator.
Absolutely, Dr. Valide. And this is actually a place for the listener that they can kind of dig down into a bit of a mystery, because the church is a mystery. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the word says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way." That restrainer is the restraining force of the church, the Holy Spirit indwelling each one of us that belong to the true church of God. We serve as that restraining force for this lawlessness. We are a mystery, just as this lawlessness is a mystery in this moment, but God is about to reveal it all, as he graciously and mercifully always does. In his execution of judgment over this wickedness, he always reveals the truth in that process, which is why, as much evil as we see, we also see where truth is coming forward and people are waking up, because that is part of the ways of God.
Yes, and I am very struck by how systematically the powers answering to this global agenda of control, totalitarianism, how they have systematically purged the church, the military, the schools, hospitals, the medical profession, and even the courts of those who have a connection with our Creator and have stood on religious exemptions to avoid taking the COVID shot. That has been, those who have stood on religious exemptions have been fired from employment, have been purged from the military, have been purged from universities, purged from hospitals, and they are removing the conscience of medicine. They are removing the conscience of the military by purging all of those who have applied for a religious exemption and who would not agree to defile their bodies with an experimental shot that altered their genetic makeup.
Well, that's exactly right. It goes back to that same concept in 2 Thessalonians. This is the restrainer. This is the, it restrains the outpouring of this full force of evil upon the world and upon mankind. And these evil beings, this great cosmic battle will continue to purge the people of God who possess the Holy Spirit within them. If we could only get a hold of the power that dwells within us, Jesus said that the gates of hell could not prevail against it. That is the power that's in us. That's the restraining power that we possess that can bind evil through the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us. If we could get our minds around that, I just can't even imagine what would be possible. But sadly, just as the Lord said, the church would not carry that through to its full capacity.
Well, and I think we're seeing that, sadly. I wanted to bring us to some message of hope as we have talked about all of the darkness that is assaulting us and the evil agenda assaulting us from all directions, because I know it's hard for all of us to maintain our focus and our faith when we feel like we're being besieged from all directions. And I just wanted to share with our listeners, Scripture tells us that God sends angels. And the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So I ask you, do you think you've ever seen an angel? And you probably have, but just may not have recognized it. Sometimes the angels who come to help us are so ordinary, they're overlooked. And as Nicole quoted the scripture from Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Nicole. And I know I've had people say, well, God doesn't need to send angels because he's given us his Holy Spirit to help and protect and guide us. But God sent an angel to deliver Peter from prison on the eve of his execution.
And Dr. Valit, may I just step in to say something about that right there, sure. That example that you just gave. When this world listener is telling you about aliens and they're being spotted, et cetera, understand that that angel that came and dropped the chains off of him and let him out, that was an otherworld being. That is, it was the same then as it is now. I'm not saying that the quote unquote aliens that they're talking about are the messengers of God. I believe they're fallen angels, that they're acting deceptively and for harm. But the Bible, once again, we see that the Bible never hides the fact that these beings exist.
Well, that's right. Not only the Bible doesn't hide it, but the Bible actually gives us many examples of both the fallen angels and the angels sent by God.
Exactly right. You know, when I absolutely adore Tucker Carlson, but when I hear him act surprised by these sightings, et cetera, I want to grab him and say, but Tucker, the Bible has always said that they exist. It's just a question of who they're working for.
And good point.
And I think it's right to turn the program to hope, because listeners, there are still so many of us that love and serve the Lord. That power is in us. And with the faith of a mustard seed, we can tell the mountain to get up and move. We do not know how much time we have left, although we'd be very tempted to say it seems like very little time. The reality is that we are here to work and do the will of our Lord, and we possess unfathomable power to do that will as long as we draw breath. And it is our job, and we can trust our Heavenly Father to protect and preserve His children out there on the battlefield until that moment where we have completed the work that He has called on us to do.
No, I think that's so true. And that's partly why we include the faith report in the whistleblower report, because I've been very disappointed to see, I almost feel like the Christian church in America is missing in action in terms of the assault on life and liberty that are God's gifts for the last 3 years. And so many of our churches have just capitulated to the government policies that contradict God's directions and God's design of how our bodies function in health and illness, or don't function in illness and function to stay healthy. And I think it's so important that each person listening, ask yourself, is the church where I'm participating, is it really following biblical principles? Or have they kowtowed to the government policies in order to protect their donor base or their 501c3 charitable status? Who is really the authority that guides my church? And if you can't honestly say that the authority that guides your church is God and Scripture and Christ, then ask yourself if that's where you want to remain, or do you want to find a church home that is focused on what Scripture teaches?
Well, I'll say, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners right now saying, but there aren't any. It is very difficult, Dr. Valit, these days. Listeners, you are not alone. I am struggling with it here in my little niche in Bradenton, Florida. It is difficult to find a church that is willing to teach and preach the whole counsel of God, because they don't want to offend the attender. They have taken many of them a weak-kneed position that somehow the church is there to be a seeker-friendly center where no one is offended, instead of remembering that the church is meant for the people of God. Evangelism and ministry out in the public, in the community, that is where the church is supposed to reach out. But the building, the meeting, the church itself, as we come together and meet, that is meant for the believers to be grown up into all things. It's not supposed to be seeker friendly, and it's not supposed to avoid the hard topics. When we do that, we fall into that very sad last days church of the Laodiceans.
Well, I certainly have seen that in spades in so many churches around where I am located. And it's really sad, because in pushing the transgender movement and honoring that in a way that contradicts biblical teachings, and in agreeing to the abortion agenda in ways that contradict biblical teachings, to me, all of that is just so antithetical to everything that I value from my upbringing as a Christian and as someone who is working to deserve the gifts that God has given us by honoring Him and by accepting His direction in life, and by turning to Christ as the authority, not the government and not the policies of this world, other than to obey the rule of law, which it seems like our leaders are throwing out the window.
Well, they are on all sides of the political spectrum. Law and order, honor to God, these things are being thrown out the window rapidly. And it can be very discouraging out there to even find a church that's willing to stand on even one solid biblical principle, thou shalt not kill. It is hard, listeners, to even find that. I speak from experience. The church that I have been attending, the pastor dared to even mention something about that without even taking a deep stand on the matter, and offended members of the congregation that were quick to voice their disdain and insult immediately after the message, where he merely suggested that given the decision, it would be important to serve in the community to help women who were choosing life or no longer had access to abort their baby.
Oh my heavens, that is so tragic. Listeners, America was founded as a Christian nation. That's unequivocal historical fact. You can choose to write a revisionist history, but the bottom line is America was founded as a Christian nation welcoming people of all faiths. Didn't say you had to be a Christian to live here. It welcomed people of all faiths and people of no faith, but it was founded on Christian principles. So let's commit this week to turn back to the Lord, turn back to the Bible, and look at ways that you in your community can take a stand against evil and turn back to God in prayer that He will heal our land and restore us as His people. And with that, we wish you a meaningful week and a healthy week, and turn to Truth for Health for more information on ways to have good health, vitality, and be resilient for all of the chaos and confusion and deception and lies of the enemy, because there is hope in Christ and in our founding principles and rule of law. We'll be back again with another whistleblower report. Check us out at truthforhealth.org. God bless you all.